Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home for your next Disney or Universal vacation, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show's also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. Let us book your next Disney vacation, Universal vacation, or any other vacation you can dream of at americantouristtravel.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal Studios, or anywhere else in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom, Old Key West, Saratoga, you know them all, guys. Contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at dvcrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Dan. Hey, pull up a stool, Dan.
Hey, good evening, Doug. How you doing?
I like it when you say good evening. You sound all sophisticated and stuff. We're also joined by our good buddy, John Peters, who is not sophisticated. He already tapped the beer keg, and he's ready to drink tonight. How you doing tonight, Johnny?
Top of the evening, gents. Top of the evening to you.
And now we've really brought some class to the show. We got our good friend Carmen from Peas and Carrots joining us. We have a glass of wine waiting for you. How you doing tonight, Carmen?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
We're doing well. We're going to try to be on our best behavior tonight, guys, with Carmen in the house, in the bar tonight.
We'll try.
We always are.
At least until we all get a drink or two in us, and then we can relax a little bit. But... And the wine is gluten-free, Carmen, just so
that's
you know.
That's right.
I even got some gluten-free snacks brought into the pub tonight for
wow,
you.
Wow, that's really nice.
A lot better than Via Napoli, because you couldn't find much over there gluten-free, could you?
No, they have a few things, but it's pretty limited.
So, but Brian did like the pizza there.
Yeah, he loved the pizza. It's one of the only places, I think it's the only place I'm aware of on property that has pizza but doesn't offer a gluten-free version. And so that was pretty disappointing. They had like three pasta dishes I could choose from, and that was the extent of their gluten-free options at Via Napoli. Whereas, say, I could go to Mama Melrose and I can get a flatbread that's gluten-free there, for example. So it's kind of odd since pizza's their specialty.
Yeah, I think Via Napoli's not, that's not a Disney-owned, is it? Is that
That's correct. Yeah, it's not Disney-owned.
So that may have something
Patina
to do
Group.
With why.
Patina yeah. Group. I wonder how I know that.
Huh. Have you delivered there once or twice, John?
Yeah, a couple of times.
You bring in the water, right, John?
The water, the flour, the tomato sauce, the a lot of the cured meats and stuff like that. So, yeah, quite a few things.
Now, Carmen, did you mention anything to the waiter or waitress about the gluten not having any gluten-free pizza on the menu?
No. I assume they get that request a lot, and it must just not be a priority. And like you said, they're not owned by Disney. I have a feeling if they were, they would offer the pizza. It's the same at a lot of the World Showcase countries that are not owned by Disney. There's either fewer options or greater risk for cross-contamination. I prefer the Disney-owned restaurants. I just feel safer at them.
I don't blame you at all. Now, tonight we have Carmen on, and she's going to talk about... Carmen, tell everybody how they can find you on YouTube.
Our YouTube channel, we have vlogs that are primarily focused on Disney. We do cover a few other parks in Myrtle Beach, but most of the videos are Disney related, and we're at youtube.com/theadventuresofPC for peas and carrots. And you can also find me on Twitter at peas and carrots with the number 3 at the end. So peas and carrots 3.
That's crazy that somebody else had peas and carrots 1 and 2.
Yes. And also every variation of peas and carrots on YouTube as far as the URL was also taken. So there's lots of peas and carrots of some kind out there. But the way to differentiate us is we are the adventures of peas and carrots. You can also just type that in a search, your YouTube search, and we'll come up.
Yeah, believe me, I've done that many a times.
Well, you'd think it'd be such a unique name, though, right? Peas and carrots. I mean, you know, It goes together, obviously, but I mean, who would have thought two other people at least would have taken the name?
Yeah, must be popular.
We'll have to come up with corn and string beans or something for our YouTube channel.
Succotash, all right.
Well, when we have other people with us, a lot of times they'll declare that, like, I'm the onion, or, you know, they'll come up with a vegetable to join in with the group.
That's a good name, though, John. We could, the three of us could become Succotash on YouTube. That fits us perfectly. So what we want to do, Carmi, is we want to cover, because we spoke to you. You were down this past summer with your nephews, weren't you? With the whole family?
Yes, we went with Brian's sister, her husband, and our two nephews, which are also our godsons. And we had taken all but my brother-in-law went with us a few years ago. But our oldest nephew is graduating from high school and is off to college now. And so we wanted to do one more big family trip before people start going to college. And then it's harder to get everyone together. And so this was sort of like the last big hurrah, so to speak. I'm not saying we'll never do anything again, but we knew this was a good time to grab everyone and go down. And so we normally don't go in the summer because, A, it's really, really hot, and B, it's more expensive, and C, it's more crowded. And so we have done June once before with them, but this was our only other time going in the summer with all the many, many times that we've gone. That's only those two times.
Well, you did it good. I would have done A, 2, and C. That's how I messed up doing when I described something. But anyway, where did you guys stay for this trip?
We stayed at Coronado Springs, and that was our first time staying there, and overall, we really enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's where Denny's staying this next trip.
Yeah, I mean, that seems to be a common theme, at least it was for us and many people that I've talked to, that people kind of go or stay there kicking and screaming, but once they stay there, they rave about it and, in fact, go back, you know, because it's the known as the quote-unquote convention resort. Some vacationers just kind of are leery of that, but I highly recommend it. This is, I think, our third or fourth stay there since we discovered it a few years back, and we love it there. I mean, I love Riverside, and, you know, we're DVC members, and I love some of those resorts too, but Coronado Springs, I think, is overlooked an awful lot by the folks in the Disney community.
Yeah, I would agree with that. We had never stayed there because for some reason we just don't do moderates a lot. Well, hardly ever. Our very first
trip. When you're highfalutin, you don't stay there.
No, but what's funny is we do value a lot. We do pop about every year. We either do a value because it's a short trip and we want to keep the cost down, like a bonus trip. Or we do deluxe for the food festivals because we want to be able to walk to Epcot. It's more about the walking to Epcot than anything else. That's why we're always at, like, Beach Club or Boardwalk. We just want that easy walking back to the room if you stay till, you know, the food festival until it closes at night.
No, we're only kidding with you. Know that. It's a joke. It's an inside joke for us now.
But for some reason with the moderates, we just never feel a pressing reason to stay there. Our very, very first trip to Disney, we stayed at Caribbean Beach, and we weren't that impressed. Now, that was years ago, so it may be way better now. I can't speak to it, but we didn't dislike it. We just weren't blown away and didn't feel a pressing need to go back. We've never stayed at Port Orleans because every time I try to get a room there, in fact, I tried for the summer, there's no discount offered. And
no,
Coronado, we were able to get the discount, and so we jumped on it because it was a great price. It was only $400 more for the week for two rooms than two rooms at Pop Century. So it was sort of a no-brainer. I'd rather stay in a moderate any day than the twin beds or whatever, full-size beds at Pop Century.
Now, come on now. My next trip, I'm going to have a ping-pong table, and you guys won't.
I mean, Carmen, I don't know if you noticed or what, but I mean, maybe it's just me, but I think the beds are a little bit better quality than the other moderates. I know you just said you never stayed in any of the others, so you can't really compare, but I think because it's a convention resort that they do a little better job with the bedding and the amenities there.
Yeah, it is hard for me to compare to the other moderates. However, I can say the bed was super comfortable. I almost think it was more comfortable than Boardwalk. I think you're right. I think it is a better quality mattress, and also the rooms are huge. Like, the rooms are bigger than a lot of the deluxe rooms. Not DVC, but I'm just talking about standard deluxe room. Very spacious, very comfortable. Like, really, the only negative we had was the bus service. We were in the cabana, so we were the last bus stop. So all the buses came full, and then we were the last people to get dropped off. And, you know, it makes multiple stops. I think there's four or five stops around. Right. And so that, by the end of the week, was getting old. And we also seemed to have to wait a really long time for the bus, like more than I'd noticed at other resorts. Like at Pop, the buses come pretty quick. At the Deluxe, in the rare time you need a bus, they come pretty quick. It seemed like we were waiting 30 to 40 minutes a lot of times for the bus to come. And so that was really our only complaint. I think we loved everything else about the resort. The room was great. We loved Pepper Market. We liked Rick's, the bar there. That's one nice thing, is they have, it's almost like a quasi deluxe resort, because they have so many restaurants and the bar and the big food court. There's so many things there because it's a convention center. So we really enjoyed all the amenities, and then the pool's fantastic as well.
You got the pool, and that Luna bar there outside overlooking the water is beautiful.
Yep.
Yeah, Bob owns stock in that. I don't know if you guys know.
Yeah.
He bought a chair and everything. But so I'm glad you guys enjoyed it. I mean, yeah, a new guy, everybody knows by me. Listen, I mean, we've stayed at them all, and every time I try to stay at somewhere different lately, my wife makes us go back to Riverside, or we would stay at Coronado again or whatever. But she just, I'll give her 15 options, and no, Riverside. And there's been many times where we had the reservation made, and it'll last like a week or two. Don't you come back in, hon? I think I want to stay at Riverside. it's where she feels comfortable. And you know, you guys know me, I'm happy with that.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. And we actually do want to stay there. It's like I said, I can't stomach staying somewhere without a discount. If I'm not getting a discount, I don't want to stay there. So I sort of pick the resort based on where I can get a discount. And that's why we stay at Boardwalk a lot, because it's easier to get discounts there than at Beach Club.
No rack rates for common.
No. Yeah. Well, that's the reason why we're staying at All-Star this trip, because it's just a guy's trip, and I ain't going to be roaming around with my wife, because, like, the whole thing with Brenda is coming back to the resort, walking around the resort, going to see Yeehaw Bob. You know, Riverside's a romantic resort. It's like our home away from home, and without her going, I just figured, why spend the extra on one of the moderates or deluxe when it's just the three guys? And if you guys knew what I got that place for the week, it's ridiculous. For staying at All-Star for the week with the TA discount.
Wow.
It was I got to go.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you're on Disney property. That's the main thing. So whether you're at the movies or you're at the Grand Floridian, to me, it doesn't matter. I mean, most of the time, whether you're doing a family vacation or you're doing a, you know, a food festival trip like this one or whatever, you're pretty much just sleeping and freshening up at your room, and you're out and about most of the time anyway. So, you know, how much time do you really spend at the resort or, you know, taking advantage of the amenities? So I think you'll be fine right where you are at All-Star, movies or sports?
We're at sports.
Sports.
The three guys were all sports junkies.
Right.
And like I said, I really am looking forward, though, seriously, like around midnight, 1 o'clock, playing some ping pong with my godson.
Doug will probably be arrested by Disney security for
I'm sure you
drunken ping pong playing.
It will be great to get the boy a beating before we go to bed. You know, you gotta, you know, show him who's boss still. He's 20, so it ain't a bad beating. Ain't like he's a little kid, but just show him who I still got it. Beat him up on the ping pong table a couple times. You know, that's what guys do, especially on a guy's trip. If they had a pool table there, I'd really show him what was up. But that's besides the point. But so did you guys eat anywhere special on this trip, Carmen, that you haven't before? Did you anything that you guys did that it was highlight of the trip?
We have eaten there once before, but we went back to Beer Garden because we really enjoyed it the one time we ate there, but we did not enjoy being seated at a table with a large family. I know we've all had this discussion before. And on that particular trip, we also got seated with a very sick family, and we caught what they had. And so that was not a good experience.
Wow.
And so we haven't been back yet, because of that, but we loved the food and the atmosphere and everything. So since we had enough people to fill a table, we went back with our family, and I think everyone really enjoyed it, and the show was fantastic. I just wish they had some two-seater tables. That would be nice.
Now, yeah. Carmen, with Brian being a vegetarian, was he able to find enough to eat on that menu? Because I know it's very, very meat-heavy.
Yeah, he had plenty to eat. They had a lot of stuff. And Brian's actually a pescatarian, which I know sounds like I'm splitting hairs, but he eats seafood, so that opens up a lot of options.
Okay.
Like, they had salmon on the buffet, and I think they had one other thing. And they were really great about explaining, like, the potato salad that had bacon, but then they had another one that didn't. They did a really good job breaking down for him what he could have and, you know, what he couldn't. Because he kind of goes through something similar to me with buffets, because as you all know, a lot of times when you're cooking something, it might look vegetarian, but it's got beef broth or chicken broth or, you know, something right. like that in it. So he usually has to ask and find out about, like, say, soups, you know, things that might have sort of hidden meat. But he was able to get plenty, and I, of course, could get tons of food, because any place that's meat heavy is actually good for gluten free, because meat does not have gluten in it. And so I was able to get plenty of vegetables and meats, and he even offered to make some things for me separately, gluten-free, that did have gluten, like a gluten-free version, which I turned down because there was just so much I could eat without him having to do that. But they were
nice,
awesome.
That was awesome.
Yeah, they were great.
Cool. You guys should get t-shirts made up, peas and carrots, and on the back of yours it should say gluten-free, and his could say pescatarian.
He will be like, what is that?
Now, did Brian get the Mondo beers there, the big liters of good quality German beer?
I think he got a beer flight there. I honestly can't remember, because with the show and the family and trying to make sure everybody was, you know, good and had what they wanted, I really wasn't paying that much attention. I'll find out when I go back to edit the video. I always see things like that when I go back and edit. I'm like, oh, they had a
actually,
beer flight.
Yeah, actually, it's one of the best deals on property is that whole liter, because it's like $12. So compared to what you pay for, you know, just a 12-ounce pour other places, it's not a bad deal. So
yeah, that does sound like a good deal. Yeah, I just can't remember. I want to say you got a beer flight, but I'll find out when I go back and look at the footage.
Yeah, between the braised beef and the marinated pot roast, I'm sure you had plenty to eat there, Carmen.
Well, I mostly ate the sausages. I love German sausages, but that's not something I eat very often, because a lot of times those can have fillers, too, that I'm unsure about, whereas with Disney, I feel totally safe knowing that they're 100% safe. So that was mostly what I really enjoyed. Everything was fantastic.
Yeah, the bratwurst there is awesome. That's one of the things I enjoyed the most on that menu. When we ate there, and again, we did the same thing. We had the whole family there the last time we ate there, and it was awesome. But my wife, she's not the biggest fan of the menu, but she would go back. But there's no way she would go back with us not having a double table, you know, with having all if strangers sit with us like that would never be a go.
Yeah, and I don't think we would have minded as much if we hadn't gotten sick from it, but that really kind of burned us from sharing, because you're not just sitting at a table with other people, you're crammed together. Like, even when it was our own family, we were all crammed, like, literally almost shoulders touching. They really pack you in. So, yeah, that's not the kind of place I really want to share a table with people that I don't know, simply from the – now I feel like a germaphobe after that experience.
Well, I'm one, just so you know. There's always hand sanitizer in my bag. I'll tell you that much. But no, the show there is awesome, though. That's a really
it's
good
a
dinner show.
It's a fantastic show. And we also went to be our guests for lunch, which was not new for us, but it was new for our family, because it wasn't even open the last time they were there. And I think everyone enjoyed it. Granted, the boys are teenage boys, and, you know, it's Beast Castle, so I'm sure that wasn't, like, at the top of their list, but I knew my sister-in-law would enjoy it, and she did. And so we went there for lunch one day, and that was a lot of fun.
How high would you rate that, though? Is that one of your favorites, or it was favorite because the family was there?
For me personally, are you talking? You're talking about Be Our Guest?
Yes.
Yeah, for me personally, I really enjoy it, because I like being able to pre-order, go in, sit down, and your food rolls up to you, and you don't have to stand in line, and I don't have to do the gluten song and dance of standing around for 20 minutes at the counter waiting on them to bring my food out separately. So for me, I love it. However, for Brian, all the vegetarian options are tiny, and they seem to equate vegetarian with I don't want to eat much. And Brian is 6'4" and can put some food away. And so they'll bring him this little bitty quinoa salad that's in a tiny little mold that wouldn't even be a side at most restaurants. Like, it's so small. And then I get this roast beef sandwich that's gigantic. And so it's just really strange how all the vegetarian dishes are really small. So he always walks away hungry and has to go get a giant ice cream cookie sandwich or something right after we eat. So it's not high on his list.
Well, he needs to eat at Via Napoli while you're eating at Be Our Guest, and you guys can meet for dessert together. And when we get to see you, when we're all down there, I want to see this gluten-free song and dance. I didn't even know there was a song and dance.
Have you guys ever seen the gluten-free song and dance? It's getting better, though. Used to, you had to go for quick service, go up to the counter, order, and then literally stand there at the counter in everyone's way for 15 to 20 minutes while everyone else is trying to shove by you and get their food and get out. And now they've finally started handing you a pager so you can go sit down and then go back up. But not all of them were doing it on our last trip. It seemed like it was sort of being rolled out to the parks, you know, to the different quick service. So I'm hoping this next trip, we probably won't be doing a lot of quick service with food and wine going on, but I'm hoping that maybe they've got pagers everywhere now, because that was so much nicer.
I bet it is.
Yeah, I mean, for you to get your food, and plus, you know, I'm sure you don't want to be in people's way, but if that's the policy or that's what they require you to do, you have to do it. But, you know, if you could, like you said, be off to the side and not being in everybody's way, it's better for you and better for them.
Right, right. And, you know, usually at Disney, you've been standing all day anyway, so standing an extra 15 to 20 minutes at the counter is not the most, because Brian will usually go get a table, so I'm just standing there by myself, and it's not the most fun thing to do. So, yeah, I really appreciate the pagers. That's a nice addition. I just hope they, like I said, I hope they're rolling it out to all the quick service, because it was kind of hit or miss. It was like every other place we ate in September. We took a little quick trip in September and stayed at Pop, by the way, which we were just talking about. And I ended up getting a pass holder rate for, like, I think it's $89 a night.
That's awesome.
It was a no-brainer. And we got really cheap flights, too. It was like $60 one way. So,
nice.
Yeah, I don't know why. Labor Day apparently is not a popular holiday to go down. So, yeah, that's when we first noticed that they were rolling out the pager system. So I'm hoping that's an ongoing thing now.
So in the last trip, it was a lot different because you guys were not in your cruise around, do whatever whatever's available mode. How did it feel to be doing the whole fast pass and the whole nine yards because of having the godchildren with you as far as getting on rides? Because I know that was really important to them. And what was some of their favorite rides and some of the rides you really had a good time with them?
This trip was so much better to me than the first trip, because the first trip, my younger nephew was a little uneasy on some of the rides, like the coasters and anything with a large drop. But, you know, 4 years later, he's very different. And so he was willing to ride everything. So I think he had a much better time because he wasn't standing around waiting on some people to ride rides that he didn't want to ride. So that was a lot of fun. I think everyone loves Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. It's just a fun ride. My older nephew, the 18-year-old, he loves Space Mountain. I know he really, really enjoys it. And, I think he really enjoys Everest as well. As far as the younger one, I'm not sure what his favorite was, but he rode everything and he seemed to enjoy it. So that was a huge change from the trip 4 years previous. But we had a great time, and the fast passes were stressful. It was much harder to make for six people than for two. I have a whole new sympathy for people who do that on a regular basis. It's harder to get the time slots you want. It's harder to get exactly what you want when you want it. Get it in the order that you want so you're not walking all over the park. You know, with six people, I was trying to minimize the amount of zigzagging, and things didn't always line up perfectly, but it ended up working out.
Now, did you do it at 60 days out, Common, or?
Yep, yep. I did it 60 days out, yeah.
That's sometimes, Dan, you know what I'm saying? It's sometimes one of those things, like, you know too much, so the zigzagging bothers you, but for the normal person, it really wouldn't bother them as long as they can get the rides they want. Like, sometimes a little knowledge, the knowledge that we have, I think it hurts us sometimes because we critique everything because we know so much. It's like, oh, my goodness. So we're going to walk over here, then walk all the way back here, then walk all the way back over here. Like, if you don't know no better, you wouldn't care.
Well,
it kind of gets in the way.
In this case, my sister-in-law has rheumatoid arthritis. She's had juvenile rheumatoid arthritis since she was a teenager. And so I do need to minimize the walking. You know, Disney's walking mm-hmm. intensive anyway. And she doesn't need a wheelchair or ECV yet, but at the same time, the more I can minimize her walking, the more things we can do, you know, because at some point she just sort of hits a wall and we have to take a break. So that was sort of my mental, like, especially at Magic Kingdom, I was trying to sort of stay within Fantasyland, then stay within Tomorrowland and kind of keep it together.
Yeah. Does she use a scooter or anything like that?
No.
Would she use one? I mean, did you guys ever think about that?
I don't think so. I don't think she would.
Yeah, she's like, we've been trying to get my mom on one, and she refuses. So I told Brenda, because my 50th birthday is next year, and we want to go down for my 50th. Because that's what, you know, I've said that since my 30th. I want to be there for my 50th. You know, she knows this. I want to spend my 50th there, and we're going to be taking mom down again. And I flat out told Brent she's going to be on a scooter. We're going to, because it's too much. She's 80, she's going to be 83 by then. Enough is enough already. And she's the type that won't tell you when she's had too much until she's had too much. And so we got to figure out how to get her around in the easiest way. But I want her to be there for my birthday. So that's one of the things we're going to be doing on this trip. Now, I bet it was different with – I bet it was nice, though, because this is one of the things I'm looking forward to, with having Jimmy and Mark that don't go all the time. Don't you guys think it's cool when you go – like you did this past year, John, when you go with your friends and family that haven't been there in a while, and then you get to re-experience the rides with them that they don't – they forget what it was about, or it's the first time they've ever been on. It kind of makes it exciting for you again. Do you guys agree?
Oh yeah, it's a lot more fun when you've got somebody that has only been on it once or twice, or that hasn't been on it since they changed it. And even that goes for us. I mean, it was so cool and exciting to ride Soarin' again once they had redone it. So, you know, it's as much fun as some of the old standbys are. That's always nice if you got somebody that hasn't done it, or if it's a little bit of a new experience to you. So,
I think it's also fun because it causes you to do things that you skip over because you go so much. Like, you know, we go 3 to 4 times a year, and so there's certain shows and, you know, attractions that they're great, but we don't need to sit through them every single time we go. But when you take friends or family that haven't been in a while or ever, like my brother-in-law had never been to Disney World, then, you know, it's, you've got a reason to do those things, and then you're like, hey, this is fun. It sort of, you know, pushes you. Like, we went to Country Bear Jamboree, which I always skip, and I'll be honest, I know some people love it, but it's not one of my favorites. It reminds me too much of Chuck E. Cheese, I think, but anyway, I don't know that our family loved it, but the audience was entertaining by itself. It was a full house, and everyone was laughing harder than I have ever heard anyone laugh in Country Bear Jamboree. And so it made the whole show better because the audience was so into it. So I think that's what's nice about going with family. You try and do things that you either don't do often, or maybe it's not at the top of your list, and then you have sort of a new appreciation for it.
And with you, Dan, taking your son-in-law down, who I know he hasn't been there as much as you guys, I bet it's a lot of fun. First of all, having another guy with you to equal out the two girls on the, you know what I mean, because your son don't go as much as your daughter does with you. So I bet it was fun to pal around with him the last couple times you went down.
Yeah, it is. The only thing, like I told you, trying to keep up with him on the eating, from the eating perspective, didn't work out for me, especially at the buffets. I kind of overdid it at Ohana one night, and I was feeling a little woozy after that. And that's when I swore off buffets. But no, I totally agree. When you bring somebody that hasn't been, it, you know, to me, it's kind kind of like you're showing off your park, you know. It's I know
exactly.
We all go there and we share the park, but when you're there, you kind of, oh, that's my Magic Kingdom or that's my Epcot. So showing people all the little, you know, kind of off the beaten path things, I think is cool. I mean, you know, if you don't overdo it, I mean, sometimes people can get aggravated when you try to, you know, ram it down their throat. But, you know, if you can point out some things that they might overlook or would have overlooked if they were there alone, is kind of cool. And, you know, we've all amassed this useless Disney information over there.
Exactly.
It's great to trot it out and actually use it for a good purpose, right?
I feel like I'm getting some of my money back by being so knowledgeable, like when I take family members, because I know I'm getting because they'll all tell you at the end, if it wasn't for Doug, we wouldn't have done half the things that we did. How he knows his way around the park, my head gets bigger and bigger as we're walking around. But the point of it is you kind of feel like you're cashing in some of your knowledge because you know you're getting them every penny's worth out of the money they spent on their vacation. Like, didn't you guys wish you knew what you knew the first couple trips you went down? Like,
oh,
you,
yes.
You could have maxed.
Yeah, we've all done it. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's a wonder we ever went back. Our first trip was a total disaster because we didn't know what we were doing. And luckily, we decided to give it one more try, and that's when we fell in love. But the first trip, we went during spring break, like right at Easter. Horrible lines.
So did Dan.
2-hour bus lines to get back to the hotel. I mean, it was just everything. Oh, and we didn't know you had to make dining reservations, so we didn't have any dining. Yeah, it was just a complete disaster, but thankfully we decided to give it another try.
Yeah, you feel like you're cashing in. It makes you feel good about yourself when you get the whole family around there and have all your fast passes. And like you said, most people don't even know what that is. Like, my brother-in-law and them, they didn't know which bus is going where. I mean, we're at the bus stop. Bus pulls up. They're just hopping on. We're going to Disney. No, you're going to the wrong park, man.
Well, my sister-in-law said, she said, I can't imagine doing this without you. Like, and she's been twice with us now, but she said that to me one day when I was explaining where we were going and when, and just basically the logistics. And she said, I just can't even imagine going without you and trying to figure all of this out.
And it is good when you have a group, because that's the one thing that I do give my family credit for, because we've gone down with 10, 12, we've gone down with pretty big groups. And it does make me feel good that they all just throw their feet up and say, this is all you, Doug. And believe me, I wouldn't have it any other way, but
yeah.
It's just the point. I admit it. But it is nice that they rely on you. You feel useful. Like, they rely on you to get you through. And when it's a success at the end of the week, especially the year with my mother-in-law's 75th birthday. I mean, I planned that for months in advance. I had the cake ordered. I had the party. I had everything set up, the dinner. And I went to studios, like, the day, because we had our birthday dinner at the Brown Derby. I went there, rope drop to make sure, and talked to the maitre d', make sure everything was on schedule and all. And when that dinner went off, I had the biggest smile on my face. The trip was over, and we had a fantastic time. It really makes you feel good when you take care of the whole family that way with something that special. Because a Disney trip with the whole family is really special when it goes right.
It really is, and now we have a lifetime of memories. You know, like I said before, everybody starts sort of going their separate ways when the boys grow up, but I shouldn't call them boys anymore. I guess one of them's a man now, which is hard for me to get my head around. But and also, another thing is, they all love the pool, and Brian and I are not pool people. Like, when he and I go by ourselves, we usually don't even set a toe in the pool. We'd rather be at the parks. It's just the way we are. But with the family, and also that week there were record highs, like the heat index was like 115 almost every day we were there. It was pretty brutal. We would come back, you know, early afternoon and spend the rest of the day at the pool, and that is so not normal for Brian and I, but we had a great time, and then we had time to kind of sit and visit and hang out and really enjoy the amenities at the resort, which we usually don't take advantage of.
What do you guys say? What do you say, Dan, about that?
As far as taking
taking care of the family and the
guys.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
And
the thing that usually works out, and we've discussed this before, is the fact that usually there's, at least in every family, somebody that enjoys trip planning and somebody that just is along for the ride. Just tell me what date the vacation is, and I'll show up. And you know, it kind of works out. I've never seen a situation where, you know, there's been two trip planners in the same family or a large group, and I wonder how that would work out, quite honestly. But yeah, I mean, people that, I mean, I've said this before, and I think you guys would agree, to me, the trip planning, I'm not going to say it's as good as a vacation, but it kind of pulls me through the rest of the year waiting or in between trips, and mm-hmm. you know, keeps it fresh, keeps it on your mind, and keeps, you know, the humdrum day-to-day stuff, you know, kind of keeps it exciting, at least for me. So I really enjoy trip planning. I don't do it as much as I used to because I don't have time, and now I use a travel agency now, so I don't have to do that stuff.
He uses me.
American First Travel, give Doug a call. No, but in all seriousness, I mean, don't you guys enjoy planning your trips a lot?
I do. I like to have one or two planned past my next trip, just to have it on the books, and like you said, it keeps it in the front of your mind, and you're thinking about, okay, where do I want to eat, and you know, just sort of have the ADRs rolling up and then the fast pass rolling up. It just keeps it fresh and exciting.
How often do you do it, John? Do you have a lot of people in, or
well, yeah, we take a couple of folks down different times every year, but usually we usually don't have people come down and spend an entire week there. Usually it's like I did with my nephew, you know, just a day trip over there or something. But as for me and my wife, I mean, we have probably right now on my phone, I've got like five different little trips planned, single days, you know, fast passes made up, and then I've got at least three different ADRs for different times, and two of them we're not even staying out there. So that's I enjoy that quite a bit. I mean, nothing better than sitting at home playing on your phone and, you know, sipping a beer and making ADRs and fast pass reservations, even if we don't make some of them. It's just fun to do. So
yeah, this is the first trip that I've ever gone down that I don't have a single ADR made.
Wow.
We don't have one. I mean, we don't have one at all. I mean, and it's going to – I plan on eating at a few restaurants, but it's going to be more with food and wine going on and so many places I want to try. I mean, with me being this solo with the guys, I want to try more counter service and more like Marimota's quick serve, or go over to the boathouse and try a couple appetizers and have a beer. I plan on doing stuff like that this trip.
Well, you know
so
what?
I really don't mean many ADRs.
We've actually got to the point where we only have one or two ADRs for an eight-day trip, and sometimes none, because of exactly what you said. We've started eating in a lot of the lounges and stuff, like Brown Derby Lounge or the Nomad Lounge at Animal Kingdom. There's so many great lounges now with really high-quality food. And then you don't have the stress of an ADR. You can just waltz in anytime you want. You're not trying to get there on a schedule. And so we've actually found we enjoy that a lot more.
Now, I heard, I don't know, I know you guys listen to them, but Lou Mangiello today, I listened to, they did a dinner report or at the Tutu Gusto. Have you ate there yet, Johnny, or Dan, or any of you guys?
I have
That's
eaten
the little,
in the wine cellar.
Yeah, no,
yeah,
no,
Tutu
I haven't
Tutu Gusto's
eaten there.
Wine cellar.
Yes, I have eaten there.
How did you like it, Carm?
It was good. It wasn't the best meal I've ever had. I had I believe it was a shrimp risotto, and it was good. It was kind of heavy. And maybe I was just too full when I got it. I don't know. You know what I mean with Disney? I may not have been starving at the time I got it. I don't remember, but it seemed kind of heavy, but the service was decent and the food was good. And once again, we were able just to walk up. I think we did have to wait maybe 10 minutes or 15 that night for a table, but it wasn't long. And then we were able to sit there, and they have beautiful ambiance in there with the sort of wine bottle chandeliers and stuff. Really neat looking place.
Yeah, because Lou was going on and on and on about how awesome it was. And, you know, nothing against you, Lou. We love you. You know, you're the pod father. But, you know, he don't have many negative things to say. I don't think I've ever heard him say it.
Many? How about none?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it's not something that I would necessarily do again. I'll let you take what you will from that. I don't have anything terribly negative to say about it, but of all the wonderful places to eat at Disney, it's not high up on my list to go back to.
Okay, because he raved on and on and on about the meatball parmesan sliders, how great they were. So I don't know how they were, but and then they also he was talking about the beer and the wine flights are really good in there. Like you could pick your own beer flight off of all the beers on the menu or something there, which
I think that's pretty cool. Having never eaten there, and John, I thought you said you got a cheese plate in there somewhere over in that area, but it obviously wasn't at this place we're talking about.
No, I think
France.
Yeah, I think you're thinking about the little wine cellar in Germany. That's where they have the prosciutto and a couple of different
$5
cheeses.
Cheese plate. That's the good deal.
Bingo.
Yep.
It is.
The one at the Tutu Gusto Wine Cellar, Gusto, I'm probably saying that wrong. The cheese plate they have there, our friend Beverly got when we were there. She was with us on that trip. And it was pretty pricey. I know it wasn't $5 like the one in Germany.
Yeah, I like my $5 Germany one. So.
We do, too. That's one of the best deals. That's the best kept secret at Disney. It's not DVC. It's that $5 G.
Oh, what were you going to say, Danny? Did we lose Danny? Or did he pause us again? Sometimes he puts us on mute and he goes away.
Are you there?
Yeah, we're here. Okay. You put us on mute again.
Oh, all right.
What were you going to say?
I was just going to say I was kind of surprised to hear they Carmen ate dinner there. I kind of thought that place was like for, you know, tapas plates drinks and hors d'oeuvres or stuff like that. I would have never even considered, you know, having a full-on entree there.
You can get the whole Tutu Italia menu at this place. Yeah, you can get anything you want from the Tutu Italia restaurant,
if
you want.
Okay, so it, even though it's called the wine cellar, you get to pick from the menu from the restaurant it's adjacent to or in.
Yeah,
we actually ordered off the lounge menu. They have a separate lounge menu.
Yeah, they have two menus, Dan. You can go by the Tutu Gusto menu, which has small plates, which is meatball parmigiana, meatball sliders, ravioli and ricotta. There's a lobster small plate. So there's a bunch of, and then the cheese plates and all that. You can order off theirs, but you can also order anything you want off the Tutu Italia menu, and they will serve you there. And you don't need any reservations for this restaurant, this wine cellar, which is really cool. Which I think, like, for somebody going like me as a single or with the guys to pop in, it would probably be. It would be easy for me to get a nice meal here, too, if you follow me. That's one of the other reasons why. And that's the other reason why I like the idea, like you were saying, Carmen, that they are popping up with more lounges and stuff, because it's nice to just pop in and try flavors of all the different places. That's what I want to do. I'd like to try 4 or 5 different places in a day than have one big meal at this point with all the new restaurants that are down there.
Right, and a lot of these lounge menus are pretty extensive. Like, we ate at Jock Lindsay's in April, and we were all stuffed. Like, it was enough food to be a meal, even though it was, quote, bar food. It was plenty of food. Like, that was our lunch that day, and we all walked away full. So, I mean, that's what's nice. I feel like you get sort of a better value for the money. I'm not saying the food's cheap. It's not. It's still Disney prices. But because it's not a full-blown meal, the prices to me seem a little more moderate.
Yeah.
Oh, exactly. Like, you can grab a lot of little different meals, and then you and Brian could even split a lot of things, too, which makes it nice so you can try.
Actually, not really.
Oh, yeah. Gluten-free and pescatarian. I'm sorry, I forgot.
Because we're almost opposite ends of the spectrum.
That was a good try, Doug, but I don't think they can.
Yeah.
No, but at least, like Doug said, at least he can get around or somebody that's going to eat in this way. I mean, just in Disney Springs alone, I think Morimoto's has what do they have, like a window or something or other where they're offering some of the items off their menu. And Jock Lindsay's, like you mentioned, Carmen, I know they kind of have a bar menu in there. I think we had the meatball sliders when we were there. But, I mean, that way you could get to maybe 4 or 5 different places in a day and, you know, get a taste or a flavor for that particular restaurant without – you know, eating all those calories or weighing yourself down where you can't move. You know, you can, you know, go and get a drink and, you know, an app or, like Doug said, split something with somebody and keep on rolling. Sort of like Doug always says, mini food and wine without food and wine, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do that a lot, me and Brenda, because we like to try a ton of things. And the other thing is like Pat Jannetty from the Mickey Dudes. Did you see he hit up a couple of them? He did Marimoto's, which he did the takeout. And that food looked phenomenal. And the Boathouse has a way where you can – they have outside seating where you can grab appetizers and stuff like that. Because that's the thing I like about all the new buildings in the Springs and all, because you even said this too, John. They got so many different dining areas. They got inside, outside, like that STK Steakhouse. There's like, what, five or six different areas you can eat at in there?
Yeah, I think you're right. There's at least four or five dining rooms in there, and I know they have outside seating. And you know, we're eating at Perry DCO 37 on the day we get into town on our trip. Place we've never eaten, but I know they added some outdoor seating overlooking the waterway there, so we're really looking forward to that.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping then maybe one of the nights, if we put the kids down, me and you can meet at the Springs and try a couple of these.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe try some of these appetizers and have a couple drinks, if you know what I'm saying. Because I think that would be a lot of fun too. Because I want to try as much different things as I possibly can on this trip. That's my goal. That's going to be my fun.
Well, you've got a challenge in front of you, because there must be, I bet you there's 20 places that you could go to easily, and you certainly won't repeat yourself. Whereas, you know, the old downtown Disney, you know, there was four or five mainstays, and that was pretty much it. So, and we're not even counting all the new stuff in the parks.
Right. Yeah, as much as I love Wolfgang Puck's Pizza Express, I can't even see myself sniffing that place this trip. And it's sad.
There's actually places down there I want to try that I haven't gotten to, because we don't spend very much time at Disney Springs. Again, we like to be in the parks. But there's a lot of fantastic new restaurants that we haven't been to yet. Someone was just asking me on Twitter where they should go at Disney Springs, and I was like, I am totally the wrong person to ask, because – of the new stuff, the only thing we've had yet is Jock Lindsay's, which isn't even a full-blown restaurant. We haven't done Morimoto's. We haven't done the Boathouse. We haven't done Blaze Pizza. We haven't done Homecoming. I mean, there's so many great new restaurants.
Yeah,
I plan on closing a couple nights out there. What about you, Dan?
Yeah, no, even what's the bowling alley there?
Splitsville.
Yeah, I mean, that gets rave reviews for the food, even the sushi. Bob raves about the
sushi gonna there. You took the words out of my mouth, man. I'm going to have to walk in there. I'm going to have to say, you know, listen, this guy tells me this bowling alley has the best sushi on property. I got to try a piece of this. I have to. I mean, Dan, we have to try at least one piece of sushi there before we leave. It'd just be wrong not to with how he brags about
it. Yeah, he claims it's better than the California Grill, and he's serious when he says this. I don't know if I believe him, but he swears that it is.
I think for the price point and everything else, I think that's where the expectations are so much nowhere near as high as what it is at the Grill.
True.
So if it's good, as long as it's not coming out of a plastic container, I think you're ahead of the game.
Yeah.
When you think about eating sushi at a bowling alley.
Right.
So Carm, we're all going to be down there coming up on in these weeks ahead for Food and Wine. What are some of the things you're looking forward to the most about Food and Wine this year?
I'm pretty excited to retry the filet mignon, since John has had a good experience with how it's cooked, because I actually prefer my steak, especially filet mignon, medium rare. And as John mentioned last year, at least we got it a few times that it was cooked to death. I mean, no pink at all left in it. So you would have been happy, Doug, but I was not happy, and it was hard to chew. So I'm looking forward to trying that again now that people are reporting, because I've heard from more than just John that this year they're doing a better job cooking it. And I'm super bummed about the scallop this year, though, because it is not gluten-free, and I don't understand why. Like, when I look at the ingredients, I don't know why it's not gluten-free, but it's not. And that makes me sad, because the old version was gluten-free.
You think it's something with the sauce, common, or
it must be? It must be, because you know
it's scallop,
right?
Yeah, if maybe they thickened that celery puree. I really don't know. I can't imagine why it's not gluten free. But now I could be mistaken. But the last thing I saw, I thought it was not gluten free, and I haven't seen the passport yet, which is what I usually go by, because they mark everything in the passport. So I could be wrong. So if you're listening, don't quote me on it, and check your passport. But I did a video out, it's actually out on our website or our YouTube site, reviewing the gluten-free offerings based on what I had last year, what I was most excited to have this year. And I wish I had that list in front of me because my memory is not the greatest. And I did that a few weeks ago. But there's actually a pretty long list of things that I'm excited to either have again or try for the first time. I definitely enjoyed that beef skewer from Patagonia last year. That was one of my favorites, so I'll be having that again. I like the sweet and spicy bushberry shrimp. That was really good. I don't like super spicy food, and it was just enough heat to offset the sweetness. I thought it was really well done dish. And then I'm not a big dessert person, but I did love that nitro truffle. It was at a different location last year. It was at one of the Chew booths, but they've moved it. I can't remember where they moved it to this year, but it's the same exact thing, and I'll definitely be getting that again. That was really good last year.
Yeah, I actually watched that episode this morning, and doing show prep. I watched 14 straight hours of peas and carrots.
What?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dennis.
I did watch that episode, and I remembered that you had liked the shrimp, and I've liked the shrimp in previous years myself. I'm wondering on those scallops if maybe you could ask them to just prepare them just the scallops without the puree, if that would work for you. You know what I mean? Maybe that would, if that would make it so that they're gluten-free. Although, yes. No, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, sometimes you can ask them and they're really knowledgeable, and sometimes you can ask and they're not sure. So I'll definitely inquire. It never hurts to ask, because like last year, the beef brisket, I believe it was the beef brisket. It was one of the dishes in America. It was not gluten-free because of the cheese fondue, but if you left the fondue off, it was gluten-free. And so, yeah, I'll definitely be asking about some of the dishes I'm interested in to see if they can be made gluten-free, because a lot of times it's just a matter of leaving a sauce off or something like that.
Right, and that would be a shame, because I know Bob, if you heard our Food and Wine episode, he said that the scallop is better than the scallop they had last year, which was in was it in the Ireland booth?
Scotland.
And yeah. I love that scallop, and Bob says this year's version the scallop is even better. So that would be a shame if you don't get to experience that. So I'd pull out all the stops to see if you can make it gluten free.
Yeah, Carmen,
Unless they dusted it in flour, I assume I could get the scallop by itself, and that should definitely be gluten-free. I mean, scallops don't have gluten, so hopefully I'll be able to try it.
I'm looking at right at the passport right here, and it doesn't say gluten-free on it at all, but it's a seared scallop, truffled celery root puree, Brussels sprouts, and wild mushroom featuring Melissa's produce. And I'm just trying to figure out, other than, I guess, the thickener and the mousse, where would you get gluten at in any of that? So.
Yeah, it's just about got to be that, because like that cheese soup in Canada, they use it to thicken that. They use gluten to thicken that soup, for example. So I bet it is the puree, but that's unfortunate because you can make a puree without gluten.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I mean, the scallop was good, but it was the Brussels sprouts and the puree that really made it fantastic. So, you know, if you can't get it without it, it's going to loses a little bit of the punch. So.
Oh, that's too bad. Yeah. But there's plenty of other food. Like when I went through that list and did my sort of plan of attack, I was surprised at how much there was. I think there were over 20 items.
Wow.
That's a ton of stuff. Now, some of it's like that little bag of tomatoes, which, you know, I'm not that excited about. But, there were still a lot of things.
Well, they were Jersey tomatoes, you might be.
I wasn't going to try for one reason or another, but there were at least 20 things I wanted to try. So that's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I got to give Disney credit. I mean, you know, not so many years ago, you know, it was unheard of for them to have anything at all, or maybe one item here or there, and it was very limited. But, you know, it's probably not as expansive as you'd like it, or people that have those dietary needs would like it, but at least they're heading in the right direction, and I think it's getting better. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I think Disney does a fantastic job. I mean, because we go to food festivals at other parks, and Disney has far more options than anyone else. We have a park here locally in North Carolina, and they actually have quite a few things at their food festival, but that's because they focus on barbecue and meats from the Carolinas. So yep. there's more there, not more than Disney, but more than other parks. But we also go to like Busch Gardens in Virginia, and they don't even mark what's gluten-free or not. I have to sort of run around, scrounge, and find a supervisor and ask questions, and it's, you know, that's just not very fun. So Disney does it. Fabulous job providing options, documenting it, you know, making it really easy for someone with restrictions.
Oh, that's great to hear.
Now, have any of you guys ever wandered over to the Swan and Dolphins Food and Wine?
No, I have not. They run that, what, one weekend in late October, I think, Doug?
Yeah, it's actually going to be down there when we're there this trip. It's and I don't think it charges you anything. Did they charge you anything to go? I think it's free to go to. But you pay the same way, don't you?
I don't think you can get in there without getting the wristband. Right. I think you have to pay to get the wristband.
I thought it was like $100 or something like that, Doug. But I've heard Lou rave about that food and wine festival. He said it is truly a hidden gem, and with the Disney's festival going on, it kind of gets lost in the shuffle. But I did hear a show that he did on it, and he said it was absolutely fantastic and well worth the money.
Yeah, it said tickets to the Swan and Dolphin Food and Wine Classic are available as part of the resort package or individually. So, yeah, I was just curious if any of you has ever run, because I've heard the same thing, how phenomenal it is. So I didn't know. It's a shame they don't have it for free where you can go over there and roam and try some of that out, too. Like, that would be nice to try something over there and roam around the promenade of the boardwalk and the Yacht and Beach Club, wouldn't it, guys?
Yeah, I mean, that's the main reason we haven't tried it, because there's so much to try at Epcot, and you've already paid for your ticket to get into Epcot.
Exactly.
I don't want to pay another whatever. I can't remember what it is, but I remember it was pretty steep. I don't want to pay another fee to go to another festival when I've got one that I've already, you know, got access to, so...
Yeah,
I don't blame you for that.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. And like we always say, it's time. I mean, you're there trying to get everything done that you want to get done, you know, on Disney property. But I believe they do it a little bit different in that I think each of the restaurants that reside in the two hotels actually have a section. So like Todd's Blue Zoo or, you know, some of the other restaurants, Shula's, you might get a little filet from there and stuff like that. I want to say that the food is a little bit more substantial than most of the Disney dishes. So I think it's a little higher end food and wine festival, but I'm going to say it. I think you're going to get a little bit better quality food. But again, as much as I think it sounds great, I probably won't do it until hopefully I'm living down there at some point.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Yeah. If you were local, I could totally see checking that out. But I agree with you. It's like your time is so limited. Even though we stay for a full week during food and wine, I still feel like it's a challenge to try everything that I want to, because you get full, you know, so you have to keep going back on different days, you know, to be able to try everything. And so, yeah, I can't imagine adding a second food festival in with it.
You think they'd do it on an off time, you know, like a different time of the year where, you know, people, maybe that time in between Flower and Garden and Food and Wine, sometime where nothing's going on festival-wise at Disney, you think they'd bring in a large crowd to their festival, no?
If they had that the third weekend of January, I would probably go to it every year.
Yeah, because you're dying to go to something, and Flower and Garden's not on yet, so you'd be throwing your money at him, right, John?
You got it.
It's $98 for the one and $122 for the other with the beer included, so we know John would do the $122.
Yeah, I think so.
But think about it. You get to try everything for that one price. I'm in. There's a lot of plates there. And so, like you guys said, again, I know all our listeners laugh at me, but eventually I will be moving down there. And again, that would be the optimal time to do it. I mean, this is all the stuff that it would be awesome to go do.
Yep.
Like, you know, I mean, I wish I had some. We have one here we're thinking about going to in November. It's going to be at the Borgata when I get back, because Michael Simon and Bobby Flay and all's a part of it. So we're thinking about going to it, but it's still not the same. I leave there, I'm afraid I'm not going to make it home alive.
Yeah.
From Atlantic City, but that's another story for another day.
Hey, now, Carmen, are you going to do the the thing that you did last year with the where you get the tabs that John was talking about? I don't have the proper name. You know, where you buy the tabs for food and wine, and then you sit in those the highfalutin areas there. That
well, they don't have the premium package anymore, which that's actually separate from the tabs. Those are two different things. The those areas, the highfalutin areas, as you described it, to sit in, they do not have that this year, and that makes us both so sad because we really, really love that. However, they do, as John's mentioned, have the sampler packages. I don't know if that's what they're calling them this year, and we will absolutely be getting those because, like, I, for one, drink cocktails because, as we've talked about, I don't drink beer, and they have the different cocktails at the festival, and most of those are $10 and up, and they are, except for champagne and I think one glass of wine, they're all covered by those tabs. So if you spend, I think it was around $7.25, if the items cost more than $7.25, you're coming out ahead with those sampler packages. So we will absolutely, we'll probably get two of the 16 packages, one for each of
per
us.
Day?
Per day?
Per day. No, for the whole week.
Oh, okay.
No, for eight, for use over 8 days. Because, well, I was doing the math, that's only like two cocktails a day. That, you know, I think I could manage that. So. Yeah.
Well, then then you get back home and then you list the two pins on eBay and sell them for $25 a piece, and you know you didn't spend that much, so not too bad.
You get some of the money back, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, we're looking forward to taking advantage of that for sure. And last year that sampler package did not come with a pin. The premium package did, but the sampler package did not. So we're excited to get the pins too because we do sort of. Not as actively as we used to, but we do collect pens. Like, if we get one from something special like that, we hold on to it.
Yeah, I just found a few pens. I was looking for my camera and found a bunch of pens I didn't even know I had. It was like found money. I'm like over there, oh, my God, look at this. Brenda goes, what? It's a, look at a pen I got. She's like, oh, my God, you got it bad. Leave me alone. You'd have thought I found $1,000 in my drawer. It was a stupid pen, but I loved it. It was like I forgot I even had it.
Wow.
But for the $50, it's so worth it. I mean, you could just I'll get a filet each day and it'll make me money.
Absolutely.
Yeah, see that's it. Yeah, I'll be eating the filet for sure. And I know Brian's gonna get the lobster roll, and those are both, you know, over that threshold, I know. And then, like I said, there's a huge list of cocktails that are $10 and up that are covered by it. So that's where you really I'm not saying it's a good value per se because the cocktails are tiny, but I'm just saying it's better than paying $10. Better to pay $7.25 or whatever it is than $10. So
if you know
if
you know going in you're going to purchase these items or likely to purchase them, then you might as well get the you know, buy the thing and get the pin, like John said, and, you know, save a little bit of money. I mean, I guess that none of it's a good value if you say, is it worth the price for that little thimble of a drink or whatever, right? We'd never get anything, but we know that we're going to, you know, pony up, if you will, the money to buy these things. So this does seem like a way. I mean, John went into great detail when we did our food and wine show, and he seemed to think it was a value for him and his family. And you say you're doing it again. So I think we're in, Doug. We're going to have to do these sampler packages.
Yeah, I think
I'm probably
going to
do one of them and the $200 lanyard, because I have a gift cards well exceeding that, so I'll just use them to get the lanyard so I have it. And like John said, you can use the lanyard anywhere. It isn't just at food and wine, right, John?
Yeah, it's just a gift card. So once you're done with it, if you want to use it to pick up souvenirs or something to eat back at the hotel, you can use it for any of that. So, or even back at the Disney store back home, I think. So.
Yep.
Yeah, so it'll be worth it. This way I'm not carrying around 15 different gift cards.
Well, and the other nice thing about using the gift card, you know, the lanyard, as opposed to your magic band, is you don't have to put a pin in every time, unless I'm mistaken. Mm-hmm. Is that right, John?
Yeah, no pin. And what I like about them, and I always get the gift cards, is when they print out the receipt, you can look at the bottom and you see how much you have left. So you started out with $200, then you got 185, and then you got 160, and it gives you a better idea of, well, let me save this last 30 so I can get around, you know, and get a Le Fin de Mont and a Le Cellier Filet, you know, that type of thing. And rather than just because if you use your magic band, you can run up a heck of a bill without even really realizing it. So
that's so true. No. And I actually get tired of putting the pin in because those little buttons don't work very well. that you push, you know, and they're tiny. Like, I have small fingers, and it's still really easy to hit more than one button. So I like the gift card, especially at a food festival, for just swipe and go and not have to put the pin in.
Oh, it's so convenient not pulling out your wallet or going digging into your pocketbook or backpack or whatever. I mean, we've used the gift cards for years, and it just makes it so much easier. I mean, I usually used to get the ones that, you know, come with the little springy thing that you put on your wrist, the little miniature ones there, and I mean, you just load one of those up of $50, $100, whatever, and off you go. And that's a great way to experience the festival without any hassles whatsoever.
Dennis, just so you know how much.
Oh, sorry, John.
I was just gonna say, see how much we've already spent. We have at home now. We have a $200 lanyard depleted. We have the eight tab depleted, and I've got a $100 of the springy gift card depleted. So I've been hit pretty hard already. So.
That's actually what I was gonna say. It's kind of interesting budget wise, just to see. You know, like when I come home and I've done everything on the Magic Band. It's hard to know how much you spent where, like how much was quick service, how much was food and wine, and so on. But to be able to have it broken down, like say you only use your gift card for food and wine, you have a really good idea of what you're spending at food and wine. And it can be astronomical, as John said. Like we were, especially with that premium package last year, because they were bringing the food to us and we didn't have to stand in line, we spent so much in food and wine. I mean, I heard Disney did not make money, which is why they didn't bring it back, which very well may be true, because if they make money, I'm sure they would do it. But I'm shocked they weren't making money, because, and it makes me wonder if they were factoring that in, that you actually spend more on food because you don't have to stand in line for it. Because some of those lines can get like 30, 40 minutes long, but if you can just sit down at a table and have people bring you the food, then there's no reason not to spend more money.
Yeah, that seemed so awesome that, you know, you had the roped off areas and, you know, we're teasing you about the highfalutin. But, I mean, no, but to me, that's one of the biggest detractions or downfalls of the festival, and I think you guys will agree, is sometimes finding seating or a place to enjoy the, you know, the delicacy that you just got from one of the marketplaces. It can be difficult, you know. It's like, I'm sure you probably send Brian to get a table or find a place while you're in line or vice versa, and, you know, that works some of the time, but, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've had to, you know, meander around trying to find a place to eat, and you know you're not comfortable, you're trying to hold a drink and a tray of food, and
or you're eating on a trash can.
Exactly. And well done
again,
that.
That's the only place in the world you eat on a trash can, I'll tell you that.
But
Mark.
I mean, go ahead,
Dennis. I would say that I think Bob mentioned it before. Yeah, this year I have noticed there's more tables than I had ever noticed before. I can't remember one day, well, granted, we were there on weekdays, which makes a significant difference too. But one day we were there on a Friday evening, and still every time we had an item and looking for a table, other than maybe right around Canada. But other than that, as long as you were willing to walk a little bit, you would be able to find a table. There was a lot more out this year than I'd ever seen before. So
that's great to hear, because to me, I mean, that was one of the big...
It was always stupid.
No, but that was one of the biggest advantages of, to me, getting that premium package, was the fact that you could actually enjoy your food and, you know, be in an area, you know, where you can sit down and enjoy it. I mean...
Oh, absolutely. Every area had shade. They all had either umbrellas or trees or both. Every area had seats, like actual seats, not just the standing tables, but seats. And then the people who took your order and got the food for you, they did not have to stand in line. So you got your food pretty much instantly. They took your order and 5 minutes later you had your food, because they walked up to the back of the booth. They didn't have to go through the front.
Right.
And so it was just awesome all the way around. But like I said, you can really go through some money because it's just so convenient and pleasant, and you're not out in the sun, you know, too hot, and you're not tired because you're sitting down. So, yeah, you can definitely spend a lot of money that way. So that's what I told Brian. I was trying to get him to look on the bright side that they don't have it this year. I was like, well, look at it this way. We won't spend as much money.
The silver lining.
Yeah.
Well, that was one of the things I always complained about. I never got, like, why Disney, as ingenious as they are, they never had seats available. Yeah. I never got, like, they didn't have more seating areas. There's plenty of room, especially over the, Canada side, back where the fences are, where those side ones are, where they have the event where you can go into the back area. You know where I'm talking about that?
Yeah, yeah.
Where you said they had the pin trading area.
Yeah.
How about you open that up and put some tables and stuff in there?
I almost think they don't want you congregating and talking.
I agree with that.
They want you walking to the next booth to buy something.
Yep.
That's what I think.
I totally agree, because they've even been removing permanent benches around property. And that's the prevailing theory, is they don't want you sitting. They want you going in a store, going in a restaurant, spending money.
Yep.
But I think you would spend more, like, if when we all hook up, we get to be together, like the whole group of us. If we could get a couple tables next to each other, I could just see sending people on food runs and beer runs and bring them back to the tables.
Right.
You know, I mean, just staying there, having a great time. I think you would spend more, because sometimes when it was that crowded, I wouldn't eat because I didn't feel like just standing there eating like an idiot. I wanted a place to sit and relax and grab a drink and talk. I don't know. I think it's counterproductive not to have seating, in my opinion.
Well, I guess we'll have to see. But like John said, it appears that there is as a go-between, or a compromise, there I go, that's the word I wanted there, at least put some more of the tables out, maybe not the chairs, but at least the tables, so we'll have to hope for that.
Yeah, and as long as they have the tables, I don't really care about the sitting part, because I stand all day at work anyway, so standing is not a big deal. It's just having somewhere, like you said, I think you said, Dennis, trying to balance your drink and your food, or say you want to try two food items in a drink, you know, heaven forbid, you know, because you don't want to stand in line twice. And so if there's two things you want from the same booth, you'd rather go ahead and get them. But trying to balance all of that on your lap or while you stand up without a table is really challenging.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, John.
I was going to say, just something that we did probably 3 years ago now. France has these trays for sale. I don't know if they have them anymore, but we bought one 3 years ago. It's a tray. It has Mickey and Minnie in Paris going up and down the Eiffel Tower or something. But anyway, we purchased one of those just to have, and then we thought about it, and we started bringing it out to every flower and garden festival and every food and wine festival that we go to. My wife goes and sits down. I take the tray up there and get two or three items, whatever we want to try, and then I can, you know, hold that tray and put my beer on top of it, and I don't spill anything, so it works.
That's really,
really well.
Smart.
So.
You took the words from my mouth, John. I know that they do sell food and wine. I'm sure the trays they sell for food and wine are a little smaller than what you're talking about, but I know a few years back they started with the, you know, all of the festival items, the pins, the vinyl nations, the oven mitts and all that. They sell a little plastic tray that I thought could hook on the railing, or I don't know. It had some sort of hook type thing on it, but I saw a bunch of people carrying those around, which is a little more helpful. But it also tells me that Disney recognizes that it's an issue.
Mentioned that, Dennis, because Brian and I are planning to buy that this year. We're actually kicking ourselves for not buying it last year, but we didn't need it last year because we had the tables. But
it's $2 more than last year. So.
Oh, is it really?
It was five. Actually, last year it was a heck of a deal. It was $5.95, which was incredible to me. That
and
little
it was
one
the
with
20th
the
20th anniversary, so that would have been a neater one to have.
Yeah. And this year they're $7.95. So, and it's got room probably for two of the entrees, and then it's got a cup holder, and I think the wine glasses fit a lot better in it because it's got a slot in the bottom to slide a stem through than a beer glass does. So, but
you ever see how the girls and the guys sell the cigarettes and the popcorn? They have the thing that hangs around their neck with the board.
Yes.
And it holds all the popcorn. That's what I'm bringing to the festival.
There you go.
Guys. I'm gonna walk around one of them in front of me. I bet you I'd be the coolest kid there.
I'd like to vlog that, Doug. I'd like to put you on the vlog with that around your neck.
Yeah, I might have to go out to the wood shop and make myself one up to bring down there.
like in the old movies, Doug, the cigarette girls. Cigars, cigarettes.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, tell me that wouldn't be perfect for down there.
Put a couple of collapsible legs on the bottom. You could just make you a table and sit down. So.
Yeah, no, you let it hang, and then you cut circles in it so your beer drops right in. You could just be strolling right around World Showcase. Just feeling, you wouldn't even have to stop. You could just keep drinking and eating the whole way around. I should make them up and sell them outside the Yacht and Beach Club. But that would be funny. I bet you I would. I bet you I would. Nah, so I can't wait for us all to get together. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to hook up and, you know, try a bunch of different things and get, because me, if the crowds are, if the lines are really bad, I'll head up to Japan Pavilion. I'll head into Tutu Gusto. I will have food and wine regardless. I'm not waiting. I'm going to just have my feed bag on for them 6 days. I know that for sure.
Yeah, I don't know what it's been like this year. John could speak to that better. But last year, it really wasn't that bad except for like Friday night and then Saturday. I'd say early afternoon and Saturday night. Those were sort of the worst times.
Yeah, we were there through the week, and it wasn't bad at all, especially the regular weekdays. I know Saturday is going to be a little more crowded, but with everybody, you know, just patient, I think you'd be okay. So it's going to be fun.
Enjoy it in small bites, as they say. It's not the quantity, it's the quality and the friendship, right?
That's right.
Yeah, I just wish that I'm so happy that Disney Springs is there, but tell me how hard, Dan, it's going to be not to be at Springs at the same time you're at Food and Wine with all the offerings now.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a chore to be four places at the same time, which I'm looking at my schedule. On some days, I think that's going to be the case, but, you know, I, in all seriousness, though, you know, you got to slow down and take a deep breath, and like you say, Doug, you're at Disney World. How bad can it be, right? So nothing can be that terrible that you can't have a good time. And at least maybe you don't get to do everything you want to do, but the things you do, you'll enjoy thoroughly, right?
Yeah, we'll have to say it. Slow down, look around, and enjoy the food this time.
Yeah, exactly.
And Carmen, tell Brian that on beer flights, just consider that it's missing the fourth beer. That would have been the one beer that he didn't like anyway. So you still got the three that you liked. How about that?
I don't think that's going to make him feel any better. He is so disappointed that they shrunk the beer flights.
Oh, boy. Well, I mean, Carmen, I don't know how many years you've been going, but I mean, you say the beer flights. And just look at how small the cheddar cheese soup has gotten from Canada. I mean, it used to be a almost a bowl when I first started going, and now it's, you know, I call it a thimble. I mean, it's pretty tiny now. So every year the prices, well, not every year, sometimes the prices remain flat, but the years they remain flat, I think they reduce the portion size to make up for the cost increase. It's just the nature of the beast down there at Disney,
well,
right?
They reduce the size and increase the price. Yeah, at the
or
same
that,
size.
Yes.
But yeah, Brian said that. And I know you said something similar, John, which kind of cracked me up because you guys didn't see what each other said. But Brian said that three beers is not a flight. It's just a taxi to the runway.
That's a good one.
That's very good. Now, Carm, or John or any of you guys, I know Dan hasn't yet, but have either of you tried the Nomad Lounge yet over at the Animal Kingdom?
Yes. Yes. We loved it. Absolutely loved it.
Have you tried it yet, Johnny?
John's been slacking. He hasn't been to the Animal Kingdom in about 10 months now. So
what?
I'm going to have to. We're staying at the Animal Kingdom Lodge in November. So we're going to head over. We're going to spend our 2 days at Animal Kingdom and make up for it. So.
Yeah, Nomad Lounge is fantastic. We had the most amazing server. I can't remember her name now, but I actually sent Disney a letter about how fantastic she was. And we were there with our family in June, and so obviously, you know, it's a bar. It's a very, very fancy bar, but it's still a bar. And so we're worried about the boys being bored, and she was, like, catering to them, too, and brought them virgin drinks, and, you know, she was just so fantastic. But everything we had there was really, really good, and the atmosphere is beautiful. Like, you really feel like you're in a completely different place.
That's another one that's on my living list for this trip. And I, what sounds really good is, and it sounds crazy, but I want to try the Indian butter chicken wings. Did you guys, anybody try them?
No.
Because with the whole buttered chicken deal, I would like to try their recipe for the buttered chicken with the chicken wings. And I got to know what seasonal fish balls are. I mean, I just got to know what they are. So I'm going to get some buttered chicken and seasoned fish balls and get a drink. And I think it'll be a memorable night at the Animal Kingdom.
This trip, even with it being food and wine, we've decided to try Tiffin's. Whether we actually follow through, we'll have to see. Because we scheduled it for our last day there, thinking we'll have had our fill of food and wine, but if we get close and we haven't, we may cancel it. But if we do follow through, we're planning to go for lunch our last Saturday, and try that taste of Tiffin's where you try, I can't remember how many, I think it's two things, plus you get some rice, and it was pretty reasonable price for a signature restaurant. Like, it brought it back down closer to a non-signature restaurant price, and I want to say it was like $40.
No, that's
so we were going to give that a try, and that way it's kind of like you're always saying, Doug, we can try it before we commit to like the full signature meal that's going to cost, you know, more like $100 or whatever. So we were going to give that a try. Like I said, if we don't decide, we'd rather go to Food and Wine instead. So we'll see.
No, I hear you. I mean, because I plan on and I think Den's going to do the same thing one night. I plan on I have to be at the Animal Kingdom one of the nights during my week to see the Tree of Life. I want to see
so
that light
incredible.
Up the whole.
That is my favorite thing, is the awakening of the Tree of Life. That was my favorite part of the nighttime stuff. The safari's neat. I liked it. Mm-hmm. But
it'll just seem eerie being out there at night.
Wow.
Now, have any of you heard that? What's the deal? Is that show going to be running by the time we're there?
River
of Lights or what? What are we hearing?
I still haven't heard anything.
John, anything you hearing?
No, I haven't heard any rumors. Because actually, I was trying to make fast passes for our November trip, and in November they actually have Animal Kingdom closing at 9 o'clock, so I have to think if they're going to be closing at 9, then, and that's, you know, right now, I mean, that's not saying it couldn't change certainly, but
right.
if they're closing at 9, I can't imagine River of Light going off.
That is a bizarre occurrence, the fact that they opened it and now it's closed, and it doesn't sound like it's opening anytime soon.
No, because I what I want to do is go see the Awakening of the Tree, and then maybe go over to the Nomad Lounge and have a couple appetizers and make a night of that. I think that would be a good night. What do you guys think?
I think so. And just a tip is, don't confuse the animals moving on the tree for the Awakening show. Those are two different things. Between the shows, the animals move on the tree, and I think a lot of people thought that was the show because it's pretty amazing. But that's not the whole Awakening show. It's a really elaborate projection show. I know you said you watched it, Doug, on YouTube. Just fantastic. But they kind of have it at random times, so you kind of just have to hang out there and wait for it to occur. I think it's pretty frequent.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to – I know the – I mean, you actually, from everything I'm hearing and can see, you see more – definitely on the safari during the day than you do at night, but there's just something special and eerie about it's a little scarier. Like, even though you know nothing's gonna happen, it's a better mood. The setting is better to do it at night than it is during the day, in my opinion.
Yeah, I prefer the daytime.
What did you think?
But everyone should do it at night at least once. It's just different, like you said.
Yeah, it's just the whole atmosphere of being out there at night. You feel like you shouldn't be there, but that's the way it should be, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and just
you know what I mean?
I think you just have to go in with the right expectations. You aren't going to see much. And so I think you just have to go in with that knowledge that you'll see the silhouette of a lot of things, but you won't really see a lot of animals up close and personal. But it's still very enjoyable. And every time I've been on it, the lions have been very active. And again, you're sort of seeing them in silhouette, but it's really neat to see them up moving around.
And one of the things I do, I would suspect, and I think I've heard from a couple people, that if you concentrate, you actually hear more, because the animals are more vocal at night than they are during the day. So you kind of hear more things, because with your sense of sight being down, your sense of hearing is more alert, if that makes any sense to you guys. And I think you hear more when you're on nighttime.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, it's definitely worth experiencing. Having done both, if I could only pick one, I would do daytime, but I think everyone should do the nighttime one once if they can.
So, well, hopefully we can all head over to I know we're all going to meet up and have some good food around Epcot for Food and Wine. I'm hoping me and Den we're planning on trying to do a bunch of things, even though we probably won't do half of them, right, Den?
Well,
I just want to see if Doug can actually get into the Nomad Lounge and order fish balls without giggling like a little girl. So
I'm going to.
Okay, all right.
I hope Dan's with me so he can giggle at me ordering our fish balls.
Yeah, I wish I was going to be there to vlog that.
Yeah, that would be
a good
priceless
one.
Yes.
Yeah, well, maybe I'll have to record it and send it to you. I'll record it on my digital camera and I'll mail it to you or something, Carm, so you can edit it in there. So, but I know it's getting late. You guys all have to work tomorrow. This has been a lot of fun. We're looking forward to seeing you down there, Carmen. It's going to be a lot of fun, this whole group of hooligans, as John calls us, wearing my shirt over to Grand Floridian.
Highfalutin hooligans.
Yeah.
Highfalutin hooligans, that's a good one. Yeah, I'm looking forward to meeting Doug and John. I've met Dennis, but I'm looking forward to seeing him again.
Yes, yes. I promise I won't sneak up on you this time.
That was funny. That was funny. He stalked us in one of the highfalutin areas.
No, but this will be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to I can't wait to see more of your vlogs. And tell everybody again how they can check you out on YouTube. They do a really good job. If you guys want to see, if you've never been to Food and Wine and you want to see the experience of Food and Wine, go check some of their past episodes. They've covered it for many years now, and you can get the idea of how Food and Wine actually works around Epcot. Am I right, Carm?
Yes, absolutely. And as we've talked about, the premium package isn't there. So if you go back and watch last year's Food and Wine, just know that those reserved seating areas are gone now, which is sad. But otherwise, it's a pretty accurate representation because a lot of the food stays the same year to year, which I know you guys have talked about on your Food and Wine episode. So it's still a good way to sort of look at what the food looks like and sort of get our take on whether we liked it or not. But you can find us at youtube.com/theadventuresofPandC, or you can go to YouTube and just search for The Adventures of Peas and Carrots, and we'll come up. Like I said, you can also find me on Twitter at Peas and Carrots and the number 3, so Peas and Carrots 3. We do have Facebook, Instagram, but I'm not very active on those. So the best way, if you want to chat with me, is either leave a comment on the vlogs or talk to me on Twitter, because I'm definitely on there every day.
Well, thank goodness for John, because we weren't too active on Facebook either until John came along.
Yes.
We're very active on Twitter, but not on Facebook.
Yeah, I mean, if people want to follow us on Facebook, I do post all new videos there, but I'm just not as interactive. I check it once or twice a week, whereas Twitter, I'm on there every single day. So that's a good way to actually have a conversation.
Yeah, because Twitter's just a lot easier to me. Now, we use Facebook. All of our podcasts go up on it, and John posts. Because John, if for him, it's easier to post his pictures to Facebook than it is for Twitter, right, John?
Yeah, yeah, I go back and forth. I'm a lot more active on Twitter now than I was when I first started recording with you guys. But, yeah, I still post a lot of stuff on Facebook. So I hate to say it, but I do a lot of that while I'm just sitting at red lights, bored out of my mind, because I sit a lot in traffic. So I can throw up stuff. You throw up a whole post while I'm sitting at a red light. So.
Well, there you go, John. That's safe driving.
Well, if I'm just sitting there, I'm not doing anything. So. I don't do it while I'm driving, while I'm sitting. So.
Okay, there you go. Just be safe, buddy. We got to have you around for a few more weeks so I can get that.
Just a few more
What's
weeks.
The name of that beer? Yeah, just a few more weeks. I want to drink a beer with him, and then he can do what he has to do.
Okay.
No. Well, I'm looking forward to get the scallop, the filet. And what's the beer you want me to try, John?
Le Fin de Mon.
Le Fin de
Mon. It's French for the end of the world. So.
Yep.
Okay. It's not going to bring you. I'm going to go get a Molson afterwards. But anyway.
I'll finish
Brian
it for you.
And
then you can take your sip
and
help.
What's that, Clark?
Then John and Brian could stand together and laugh at you while you drink your Molson.
But I'll tell you what. I will look good drinking my Molson. But no, guys, this has been a lot of fun. Please go over and follow Carmen. You can find Dennis at Oak Manor. You can find John at Beer Solo. You can find me at good old Grumpy 6767. And you can find us all at WDW Main Street. Please, guys, go leave us a review on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. And everybody have a wonderful week, and we'll talk to you over the weekend.
Good night.
Bye. Thanks for having me on.
Bye-bye.
We'll be right back. Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Dan's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact the Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.